Thank you very much for being here. My son was sitting in the front row, and then he disappeared. But I asked him if he was ready for the talent show tonight, and he looked up here at the stage at the group of people assembled here, and he said, "That's not the talent show." I don't know what that says about us, but that's right. He knows what he's talking about, I guess. But we're thankful to have this opportunity just to talk about the diaconate and what we as deacons do and are called to do. And I thought Dr. Trelp said many good things on Monday night that were very applicable to us in living our Christian lives and what we know, what we should know. One of the things that I really picked up on was he said we need to know what matters and we need to know when it matters. And I thought our follow-up tonight is we need to do what matters. And that's, as a deacon, we're called to do very specific tasks in the church. Not that we're the only ones that do what matters, but as holding the office of the deacon in the church, we are called to lead in several areas of ministry. So I'm going to let these guys introduce themselves to you. My name is Kyle Reed, if I didn't already say that. I'm from Topeka, ordained deacon there, and I'll let these gentlemen introduce themselves, and I've just asked them to kind of start out by telling you what kind of ministries they've been involved in their own churches and how, just give a couple examples of how they've executed the office of the deacon in their own congregations, and then we'll do some follow-up questions after that with some more specific things.
We good now? I'm Jason Castro from Tri-Lakes here in Monument, and I've been a deacon for about a year and a half now. Our situation is a little bit different because we don't have our own building, so a lot of the deacon work involves morning setup and cleanup in the evenings when we're done or after morning worship is done. So we do a lot of that just to try to take the burden off of our congregants so that we're not asking them constantly to do that. Our congregation is really good about helping to clean up, but the setup part really falls on the deacons for that. We also try to reach out to our community. One of the things that we do we started last year and we hope to continue to do moving forward is Monument has a very big 4th of July parade. They attract about 15,000 people every year, and we usually have a booth there where we are talking to people as they're coming by and trying to get them engaged and interested in knowing about our church, and so that's what we do.
I'm Barry Van Horn, deacon at the Shawnee Reformed Presbyterian Church in Shawnee, Kansas. I'm not really sure how many years I've been on the deacon board. It's been a few. Maybe Stephen knows. Wow. 15 years maybe. And I guess at our congregation, you know, we do have a building. We've got 12 acres, I think, with our property. And so there's and I guess with the size of our congregation, maybe 120, 130 on Sunday mornings. We've got a lot of just logistical stuff with building and maintenance, and we care for our property through volunteers through the church. So that's one way we can get members involved is just active in our groundskeeping and work days to keep up our property. That's a great way to train up children as well. We have one or two work days a year, and it's always amazing all the children that come out that are helpful. And so that's a neat way to have every age of member being interactive together. And, you know, we as a deacon board kind of put different people in charge of different things, and then they kind of keep younger folks busy with doing church work at church work days. Other things, I guess one way that we as a deacon board try to, I guess, be more outreaching is if members of our congregation have something that they're interested in, and it's a cause that we as a church would want to support. One example of this is in the last year we've been more, the deacon board chose to engage with providing a meal once a quarter for an advice and aid pregnancy center. We have some members that volunteer there, and that started as a good way, you know, knowing some members were involved. We as a deacon board talked about it and thought, how can we be getting members of the congregation involved in something outside of our church in the community? And so so this pregnancy center has been a good way for some of our members to do some volunteer work there. We also do some things like offering Crown Financial Class for training of people in finances. And then we also coordinate a lot of service to church members as far as when people are moving. I guess that's one big example of, we've had some great experiences of when new people are coming to our church and they need to move, you know, a whole church coming, you know, number of church members that the deacon board kind of coordinates to help somebody move out of their huge Penske truck into their new house or move from one place to another. And so that's been a great way to show love and compassion to people that are new to our church. I think that's all I'm going to say for now.
My name is Joel Wallace. I'm a deacon at Manhattan Reformed Presbyterian Church. I've been a deacon for 2.5 years, I think. Some of the things that we do in Manhattan, I'm one of two deacons, and we help coordinate different things to relieve the burden of the session and of others. So we help coordinate setup. We also don't own our own building, as well as try and be a hub of ministry information. So there are some other local ministries in Manhattan that we partner with for area residents, crisis pregnancy center, homeless shelters, things like that. And so we try and make ourselves a hub of information that when people are coming to us, either outside the congregation or inside the congregation who may know somebody that needs help, we have resources to draw upon as a small congregation that we're not trying to do all the things all the time on our own. We also try and place an emphasis on serving those who are in need at any given time, so helping people move, or even things like helping to provide childcare, and if there's someone who just needs some time to get some things done around the house, then we help coordinate and do some of that. So,
I am Colin Moriarty. I am a deacon at the Topeka congregation. I've been a deacon for about, I think I calculated, about 5 years so far. I'll try to stick to just mostly what I have been involved in, because if I listed everything that our deacons have done, we wouldn't have a talent show. A large majority of our deacon board, I think, responsibilities from month to month is doing the budget. It's been a lot of financial pieces. You know, what can we be funding? Where should we be putting our money? Making sure the church is on budget, make sure our giving and our, you know, our outflow is never bigger than our inflow, because that can be a very difficult time if it is. So being involved in that piece, coming up with, you know, the next year's budget, things of that sort, are probably my main responsibilities. But then it also includes a lot of what these gentlemen have already said, where it's, you're kind of being a face out in the community. As far as, you know, when people are moving or people are, you know, struggling, they need something fixed. There's a large amount of people who don't know where else to go, and so they come to our board, and if we can't handle the problem ourselves, we find someone who can. So we also own our own building, and so it's a large majority of, you know, let's do work days. Hey, someone said this was broken. Let's fix it now, you know. You know, we have two different glosses of paint on our wall, and it's annoying people, so we should probably paint again. Stuff like that. You know, it's figuring out those big questions. So that's a large majority of what I've been involved in, just finding everywhere and anywhere that you can serve. So that's one reason why when I come here, I don't sign up for a lot of things, but I try to find where the greatest need is.
And I'm Stephen Parnell. I've been a deacon at the Shawnee congregation since, I think, 2007. Barry spoke a lot about some of the activities that we have. I'll fill in on some areas. I guess the particular job that I see myself performing is, like in government, you have the whip, and the whip is the person that runs around and kind of keeps the records and makes sure things get done. Colin mentioned we develop long lists of various tasks that need to be done. We have a lot of people contacting the church with ministry needs and mercy needs, and we have people within the congregation that need help with moving and the like. Well, it's helpful to keep records of that, and so I'll keep the record of that, and we'll send Barry, who's chairman of our board, a list every month. Hey, these are the outstanding things. We need to be sure that we're seeing to those two glosses of paint on the wall. When people contact the church, I'll send out a brief summary of prior contact that we've had with people, because sometimes we do encounter people who are just trying to game the system, and so we try to minister to people as best as we can, people who really need it, and it helps to have a little bit of background on that. One of the other things that I'll mention that we do at Shawnee, which we actually took a cue from Topeka congregation in response to some information from Brad, is to oversee a visitation that the deacons have with the various elders of the church. And we do that to be an encouragement to them, because in many ways that is the biblical responsibility of the deacons, is to help the elders in their task of seeing to the ministry and shepherding of the flock. And that's not a diaconal responsibility to do those things, but we want to help them to do that task. And so we want to encourage them, and so we try to meet with them on a yearly basis and see if they have needs that we can assist them with in their various tasks, and ways that the church can better serve them in that mission and vision and function of the church. And that's also an opportunity for us to interact with them about the various members in their shepherding groups to find out if they have any diaconal needs that we would be able to assist with. And so, you know, every year or so, I start sending out the emails, hey, be sure to meet with your elder. And that's just a portion of some of the things that we do at Shawnee.
My name is Ben Price, from Trinity Reformed Church in Wichita. I've been a deacon-elect for about 3 weeks. session examined and approved a week ago. So, should be a big D deacon, and I think at the end of August or so. The other deacon-elect has been handling the finances for about 2 years now. And my wife and I have been coming in early to set up things. Since we don't have our own building, there isn't a whole lot otherwise to take care of. But us two deacon-elects and my wife have felt those needs and to alleviate those burdens from our elders. And I look forward to putting into practice some other things I've heard from the deacons this week. That's it so far.
I'm Shannon Keller. I'm from Topeka. I've been a deacon for, this is my second term of 6 years. I think I'm about 3 or 4 years into this term. A lot of what, you know, Colin talked about budget stuff, speaking as the assistant treasurer, I can see where he would see that a lot of his responsibilities would be around budget information. I don't look at the budget as much, just because numbers baffle me too much. But one thing I notice we do is we coordinate a lot of efforts in trying to manage the the resources that the church does have, whether it's the talent pool that's out in our congregation. We have a couple guys that can, seems that they can fix about anything. And if there's something in the church that's broken and we can't figure out how to do it, well, let's call this guy. Let's call that guy. If we know that there's someone out in the congregation that has some maintenance needs, we try to arrange for them to get help as needed. That same guy is usually very, very willing to assist with all of those types of things. We've got people that are real good at real estate, trying to manage and do house hunting and find good resources of all sorts of things. So managing our talent pool is one thing that I know that we do. We share a lot of the same types of responsibilities that I heard a lot of these others put forth. Since we have our own building, we have a lot of the same maintenance issues that the Shawnee congregation has. So I don't want to beat the horse too much. So I will stop there.
So that's kind of the 1,000-foot view, right? The diaconate in a nutshell, and it will vary from congregation to congregation, and you know sometimes it depends on whether you have your own building or not. But I hope you were hearing Acts chapter 6, as you heard. You know, I'm a deacon, and this is what I do. Because when the first deacons were established, it was so that the elders would not have to give their own talents and time and efforts to some of the more logistical issues or mercy ministry issues that were within the church. And so that's what came to my mind with all of these guys and what they were saying is Acts chapter 6. You know, this is what the diaconate is about. And this is the ministry of those who serve as deacons. Just to follow up on Shannon's last comment in terms of finding people in the church, the next question I want to ask, and a couple of you guys can take this, is how do you go about recruiting people in the church and looking for specific talents? And as Brad said, how do we train others in the church to be the little d deacons? If there's not a formalized process for that, think about maybe what you do as a deacon or a deacon board in order to make that happen. And while you guys are thinking about that, I'll just share one example from Topeka. Is we have a member who at times needs special assistance with their own personal budget. And so we have someone in our church who's very good at accounting. And so the deacon board has asked that individual on certain occasions to go and visit with that member and help that member with their own personal budget and the management of money and funds and different things like that. And that's been very productive and helpful for that member, and they have received it very well. So that's just one example of you know, finding ways that people can help with the ministry of mercy. Any other examples?
One of our biggest needs right now is trying to find a property. We've averaged probably about 60 to 65 attendees every Lord's Day. And then over the last couple of months, we've had a number of visitors that have come and stayed. And we've been pushing closer to 80, 85 people in attendance. We start to feel the need of that. And so the deacons have really been looking for a property to either buy or a new building to rent, those kinds of things. And we often say, yeah, we're going to do it. And the next month rolls around, and yeah, we're going to do it. And so, you know, a member in our congregation just really loves real estate, as Shannon was saying, kind of keeps his hand on things. And we asked him to look into it, and in a week's time, he already had stuff to us. And he's really good about thinking outside of the box and looking at things that, you know, we never even would have thought about because of because maybe it was priced too high. And he's like, yes, it is priced high, but, you know, look at what we can do with it. And he breaks it down pretty good for us. So just trying to find people like that. And I think a lot of times it just depends on the need that maybe arise, and finding somebody that can help with that and not always saying, okay, a deacon has to do it. How can we get our members to help us out?
So I guess since I've been on the deacon board maybe 15-ish years, it's been a learning process. And when I first started as a deacon, I can tell you I was, you know, obviously very green and didn't. I've always been a doer, so, and I'm kind of a fix-it type guy. But you know, as I've I guess matured maybe over 15 years, hopefully, you know, realized, you know, if I'm the big D deacon, what can I be doing to facilitate younger people or other people in the body of Christ to help with things? And so I think one thing that's key to a deacon board is just knowing the people of the body of Christ. And then, you know, I can't do everything by myself. I need to be the deacon that is looking to the people that have the right skills to help with different needs that come about. One example is when the Elia Massey and his family moved to Shawnee. They didn't really know how things worked in America. You know, how do I find a job? They actually had money to buy a condo that was basically a serious fixer-upper, and they were used to things in Pakistan that were built out of brick and mortar, and like they didn't have the, you know, it had a lot of water damage, and Elia didn't even know what that meant from a have to fix it perspective. So one way that we helped as a congregation was, you know, I just worked to coordinate a bunch of guys within the church that I knew how to help with that kind of stuff. And so we basically ripped out and redid a whole bunch of sheetrock, and then at another time had about a three-month-long project where we sided the whole outside of their condo. But those things just happened because, you know, not that we as the deacon board could do that all on our own, but it was working as the whole body of believers that had skills that could help with that. And there's many other examples similar to that, but I guess that's what I kind of see as Big D Deacon, looking and knowing people in the congregation and knowing how to see needs and pull the right people to help. You know, the other thing with the little D Deacon is, you know, bringing stuff to your deacon board when you see needs. Because the deacon board can be from my perspective of dealing with members, you know, we can either give counsel to the member that's got something that they're concerned about that maybe they can handle it on their own. It'd be their own personal outreach of ministry, but maybe it's something bigger, and then we as the deacon board can come alongside and help with that.
Colin, can you talk maybe for a second about how the Topeka deacon board goes about determining the needs of their members and the way that visitation plays into that?
You read my mind. I appreciate that. Yeah, I was going to say several things that Barry said kind of resonated. So one way the Topeka congregation or the Topeka deacons get to know their members better, fellowship is obviously one, but we make a specific point to do deacon visits. So a lot of congregations I've talked to at least have elder visits where an elder comes and visits to you and asks you questions. We also have a deacon visit. So each deacon is assigned about one to two people that, you know, at least on a current list that we can go and visit. And then, you know, it keeps rotating from there. But we definitely try to, in that process, ask the member, you know, what kind of needs are you seeing in the church? You know, one, for yourself, is there anything that we don't know? You know, because maybe it's been too public of a scene or whatever it happens might be, what can we do for you? And then also, what needs do you see inside the church? You know, it may be the deacon board's not doing this, or this person I know doesn't want to say this, but hey, they really need this help. So that's one aspect of our interview. But also, we ask them, you know, like, is there ways that we can help support you to get more involved into the church? Or what kind of talents do you, what kind of strengths do you have? Do you see, like, are we underutilizing there? So that was that's one way that we definitely try to get to know our members better and really get the church going. So.
As Colin was talking, I would like to add that I'd like to reiterate that it is us trying to look for needs that need to be met. As I've gone to people, it's almost like they're afraid it's part of the Spanish Inquisition, and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to grill them and make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And no. That's the elder's job. That's not me. But I would like to reiterate that we are just trying to find ways which we can help them. And that's pretty much it.
It's a good segue into my next question, because it is important. I've been on many of those visits myself, and it's important that you distinguish why you're there. I'm not an elder. I'm not a member of the session. I don't have authority in that realm. I'm just here because I love you and because I want to help in any way that I can. And I want you to be able to plug in and help any way that you can in our church. And that's kind of how we come at that. But that's a good segue into the next question, which is, as deacons, how would you like your elders to help you? What can the session do to assist you and your biblical calling?
One of the things that our session in Manhattan has been, I think, really good at and is really helpful to us as deacons is communicating with us on a variety of levels. Sometimes it's just a practical, hey, we're handing this off to you, because it doesn't make sense for us to do that. So they did that with the morning worship setup. Now the deacons oversee that as opposed to the session. But one of the things that can be really helpful, I think, is when elders take the time to ask deacons to serve and to point out different ways that, hey, we as a session want to do X, Y, or Z. Can you as deacons help us accomplish that? Are there ways that you can coordinate people and this ministry that we want to put forth in our church or things like that? But also, I think it was Stephen that mentioned one of the things that we want to do as deacons is alleviate some of the burden on elders in ways that we can. And as others have said, we aren't elders, so we can't do all the things. We aren't there for the spiritual oversight of the congregation, but if there are things that we can take off of elders' plates to free them up for the ministry of word and prayer, then by all means let us know and let us serve you that way. That's I think I can speak for deacons in saying that that's a joy when we get to serve and love our elders who so dearly love us in that manner.
Something we've kind of been doing and has been super beneficial for us is twice a year we have what we call joint sessions. So the elders and the deacons will meet. And at one of those meetings, it's all about what is the spiritual direction, or what is the direction that our elders want to take the church. And so we sit down and with the elders and most of you know Brad, so you know that these goals are sometimes lofty, but they'll put 4 to 5 goals in front of us, like, this is what we want to do, this is where we want to go, this is where we want to take it. So we as deacons, kind of in our mind as this meeting is usually going, or at least mine is usually going, okay, yeah, we can definitely do that, you know, that's, you know, funded, or that's in the budget. Like Shannon said, I like numbers, on the other hand. I kind of go there. Do we have it? That's definitely funded. Okay, that goes in that budget item, whatever. But sometimes it's getting them to kind of go down. What are the steps? Okay, you know, this is your big idea. How can we support you? And I think that's, coming from the very beginning, what is our whole purpose is to support the leaders. And so not only take stuff off their plate, but also help the church grow, help them go forward into, you know, into the church, into, you know, the kingdom and overall.
One of the other benefits of meeting with the session and going over their goals for the church is, and Colin alluded to this, is that the deacons then get the opportunity to say, how do we align our resources to those goals, financially, but also with human capital, if that makes any sense. You know, what kind of resources do we have in the church to support that goal? Who can we go out and recruit and encourage? And get to serve in this particular way, and that for me is one of the biggest joys when I was on the deacon board, was to say I can go and I can include this person now in this work of mercy, or we probably can carve out a chunk of the budget to do that, and we should, that's. That's a very enjoyable experience as being part of a deacon, is to look at the goals that the session puts forward for the spiritual growth of the church, and then just say, all right, how are we going to support this? What are we going to do? It's kind of an action plan, so to speak, and it's a really fun part of being a deacon. Okay, we have time for this. Let's talk about mercy ministry. And maybe give a couple of examples of mercy ministry that you've been involved in, personally as a deacon and as a member of the deacon board in your church. And feel free to talk about how messy mercy ministry can be sometimes. And let's have an honest conversation about that.
When it comes to mercy ministry, there's a huge range of things that you encounter. You have somebody who calls up the church, I think looking for, do you remember, was it equipment for fishing or something like that? To looking for food, to needing a place to stay. And sometimes you deal with things that are just so outlandish that you can tell the people are just absolutely lying to you. And one aspect of mercy ministry is trying to decide, when do you help? And we take a principle at Shawnee that our job is to provide mercy. And Scripture talks about if somebody asks for something, then give it to them. So typically on a first request from people, we will provide some assistance in the way that they look for, not cash, but we'll help pay a bill or help provide physical groceries. And if there's further follow-up from people wanting more help, then we'll want to meet with people and try to learn about their circumstances, understand the need better, because we don't want to enable people to live in sin if that's what we feel that the need is leading to. But you really have to interact with people to be able to do this. Sometimes you'll go into a home that is very dirty and messy and smelly and sit down and talk with somebody about what their needs are. Sometimes it's something that comes late at night or not at a convenient time in the day. And so there's, I guess it's a real burden that is put on the deacon board, a real responsibility to do that. And it's helpful to have the support of the congregation in that regard. It's helpful to know that there are other people in the congregation that can help.
And just to add a little bit to what Stephen was saying, we actually have a mercy ministry questionnaire that we use as a deacon board so that it not only helps us keep record of information, but it helps us because there's questions on that thing that help draw people out and help us understand what their needs are. And we'll ask about what's their family dynamics, what's been their church experience, are they hooked into a church right now,
That's one of the things we really encourage people to do. Even on the first time we talk with them, we, just share basic gospel with them and encourage them. You know, if they don't want to come talk to us, they need to be plugged into a church somewhere, and just push them that direction.
Anybody else on Mercy Ministry? I think that's one of the toughest things about being a deacon is the Mercy Ministry, especially in my case, especially for non-members, people who come to the church and express a need in various ways. We've gotten to know quite a few people in Topeka who have for an extended period of time come to us and ask for different things. Visited the church on occasion, but not regular members. And I remember one particular instance where I took a gentleman shopping for some clothes. We were trying to help him find a job. And I took him shopping for some clothes, and he needed particular clothes. I think he was going to be working in the kitchen, so he needed a certain type of shoes and pants according to the employer. So we were looking for that, and really it's just a habit of me being cheap that I went to some of the clothes or clothing that didn't cost as much. And his question was to me immediately was, "You don't want me to have nice stuff? What's the matter with you?" Those are exactly his exact words. How do you answer that question? That's a tough question to ask. And I kind of said, well, no. But, I'm not here to buy you the name brand stuff, but we're here to help you get what you need so that you can perform this job to the best of your ability, because we want you to work. And that was a tough conversation to have at that time. And he was upset. That was something that was tough to work through. I think you come to those type of situations, and I think as a deacon and other deacons would appreciate your prayer in those type of situations. Those are tough conversations to have. And there are many more examples there. Go ahead.
Yeah, and this kind of goes back to the last question too about, we talked a lot about what, we'd like to see from the session or how we're involved with the session, but also how we're involved with the congregation, because you do have people who come in for a few months or whatever and kind of get what you need. And so one thing I would advise to a lot of the congregation is when you see Mercy or when you're asked for Mercy, let your deacons know, please. We ran into a situation in the Topeka congregation where someone was going around who was worshiping with us, but they were isolating certain members and asking them for money. And then they kept going around and doing that. And so that was a tough situation for us. And it ended up, we had to tell people, your response needs to be, go ask the deacon board or talk to someone on the deacon board, because, we were kind of aware of a situation because this person that had started with the deacon board, they started trying to isolate each member of the deacon board. And luckily at that, or I guess the grace of God, allowed us to definitely have good communication between us. And so we're like, hey, is that person asking you for money? Yeah. Is that person asking you? Yeah. Okay, something's going on. And so once he found out that the deacon board was all together, that's when he started targeting the members. And so we as a church needed to be together on this issue of, and we're caring for the person. I don't look at a person dollar amount. It was a spiritual issue that we had to deal with, and the session was dealing, a lot with something like that. But we as a congregation definitely need to be on the same page. So there's a lot of, Kyle said, mentioned some of the dirty out there, and that's probably one of the best examples I can think of.
Yeah, so just to lead on with what Colin was saying about working some with the session, probably some of the most stressful things for me as a deacon personally have been experiences where I'm working jointly with a session member or elder in regard to, you know, something that the session is dealing with counseling, oversight within the body, but there's mercy ministry needs right along with it. And that often happens. And so I guess, you know, as a deacon, it's my job to be ready at any point when an elder calls me and needs help with mercy type stuff with something that they're dealing with. And, you know, I pray for them because they're dealing with more stressful things than I am, but I'm the deacon member that is going to be supportive of him in helping with figuring out all the mercy stuff that are going along with the spiritual stuff that the session's dealing with. And, you know, sometimes that's like giving advice and figuring out financing for, like, counseling for somebody that needs help with counseling and they can't afford it, helping with, you know, financial things that are coming up in this family's life and that kind of stuff. And so that's a big role of us as deacons as well is yeah, being the support of the session to help with mercy ministry stuff that are related to things that they're dealing with as shepherds.
Okay, last item that we'll visit about, Barry touched on this earlier in his opening comments in terms of the congregation's assistance to the pregnancy center there in their area. But how have you, as a deacon board, reached out to community-based organizations and, you know, maybe a little bit on what protocol you have in order to determine who to help and when or where to assist? And what are some examples of that in your own church?
So a couple things we've done in Manhattan. We have a crisis pregnancy center that several of our members have volunteered at. And so we both were known to them, and they're known to us in such a way that we definitely want to support them. And so when possible, we try and find a place to include them in our budget to support them financially, but also just being a help to them and a mouthpiece and connecting them with other resources. So we've had our church has participated in the Walk for Life that the Crisis Pregnancy Center has sponsored. Another organization in the Manhattan area is one called Shepherd's Crossing, and it's focused on financial counseling and support of Riley County or county residents. And so they deal with a lot larger scale items than sometimes we're prepared to deal with. Someone needs a month's rent, and that can be pretty pricey sometimes that we may not be able to handle. And so we talk with them, and we've included them in our budget, but we also have forwarded people to them and talked with them about people that have come to us as well. So part of how we approach it is we try and first be aware of what's out there so that when somebody comes and says, oh, I received help from this organization, we know who that organization is, what type of services they provide, and try and have some open line of communication with them. But then we also try and make our congregation aware of those resources as well, particularly the ones that we're confident are doing work that's aligned with what we believe, that's aligned with what we see as important in mercy ministry and stewardship.
What I was thinking of was our efforts with the rescue mission. A lot of our extra budget, surplus budget, a lot of that ends up going to the rescue mission if at all possible, just because we do get a lot of cold calls. We have a lot of people that just go through the phone book and just start making their circuits through the different churches looking for handouts. And so we try to direct them to the rescue mission. And a lot of times when we do that, they just complain that the rescue mission is just trying to give them the runaround. And we work close enough with the mission that we kind of have a pretty good idea of what it is that they will do and what they will ask of their residents. They require the people that they get help or give help to be actively looking for a job, to, I think, stay away from the drugs and the alcohol and all that type of stuff. So if they balk at a suggestion of the rescue mission, it makes us a little bit leery. So we really try to support the rescue mission as much as we can. That's the big one I was thinking of.
Okay, our time is, you have, no, go ahead.
I'll just add to that, there are also a lot of agencies within the denomination that often will need financial assistance, and requests will come to the churches, the individual congregations. And those are requests that we'll often look at and consider on a case-by-case basis, and sometimes we're able to provide funds from existing budget, or we'll encourage a session to think about including it in our budget. When we work with session to put together the budget to put to the congregation, we'll put line items in there to support maybe a struggling congregation. And within this presbytery, there are congregations that are financially struggling, and so we'll include funds for that in our budgets. And so that's where some of your tithe is going, is to supporting agencies within the denomination.
Okay, our time is coming to a close. We truly hope that this has been a helpful conversation for you. We're not taking questions from the audience tonight. I promise these guys we would not be playing Stump the Deacon. But I hope that you do have a lot of questions, and I hope that you have some ideas and some comments that you can go back to your congregation with and talk to your deacon board and talk to your elders. And I hope that all of you know that your deacons are looking for the skills that you have, the ways that you want to contribute, the doing that you want to do for Christ's kingdom. And because that's the job of the deacon. And I hope that you also see from this that the deacon board in the church, within the church, is a good place to start, to look for what we are supposed to do. When we know what we're supposed to know, when we know what matters, when we know when and why it matters, how do we do what matters, and who is doing what matters? The deacon board is a good place to start. It's not the only place to look, but the deacons are given specific tasks to do that you can observe, that you can ask about, and that you can contribute to. And we hope that that's what we were able to talk with you about tonight and give you more information about tonight. So we thank you for your presence and your attention tonight. Brad, can I close with a quick? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your church and for how you have arranged your church. We thank you for the many men in the audience who serve as elders, and we pray for them. We ask that you would give them wisdom and to carry out the tasks that you have given them as over-shepherds. I pray for those who are deacons, not just those who are on this stage, but others in the audience, and those also who serve throughout the Presbyterian denomination. I ask that you would give sessions and deacons wisdom in how to serve you and how to work together to build your kingdom, and in how to bring the members of your church into the doing of what matters, the doing of what you have called us to do in your word. And I just pray, Lord, that you would bless what was said tonight to the hearts and the ears of those here in the audience, and that you would help us to take some of these practical applications home with us to continue to serve you in our churches. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.